Now I want to invite Nicole Treadwell up, and after her, Ryan Johnson, to talk about the Kenny trip a little bit. So, Nicole.
Hello. Good morning. Okay. We just got back yesterday, and I just wanted to share a little bit about some of the things that meant something to me from our trip, and I know that we'll hopefully have some more opportunities coming up to share more details and pictures and things with everybody. But the trip is really meaningful. Before we left, we weren't very sure about what we might end up doing. And so we were, all of us were very involved in prayer and trying to see what we might end up doing. And it was especially important, I think, that our team was very much a unit. And so that was a good start when you don't know what you're going to be doing. So we were all willing and able to do whatever we needed to do, just weren't sure what God wanted that to be. But the thing that struck me the most as we were going about doing things like sorting beans and peeling potatoes was that the people were just amazing. In all the different situations that we were in, we came into contact with a lot of different people. We met a lot of children. We had the opportunity to go to a widow's community. And it just was amazing to me that even though by our standards they didn't have a lot, they were willing to share what they did have, and they still all had smiles on their faces. Some of these widows had to trek quite a distance to get any water that they may need, but I didn't see any that looked sad or, you know, they all seemed to be happy that we were there visiting with them. There was a woman that Tiffany and I had a opportunity to stay in her home, and she just kind of rearranged her life for a couple of days for us and made sure that we had warm water to take a shower with. And they would serve us dinner, and she made sure that we had to have her dinner first as a, like, appetizer, I guess. But she just wanted to make sure that we knew we were welcomed, and she was sharing her heart and life with us. I mean, her kitchen consisted of a little burner in the middle of the room, but she was more than willing. And that, like I said, that went for everyone that we came into contact with. The family that we stayed with, I mean, accepted seven of us into their home, disrupting their lives, but they seemed to be fine with it. So that, for me, will be the thing that I think will stay with me the most, is how happy and hospitable and loving they were, even with their conditions and situations that we were not accustomed to.
Good morning. Buona Asafiwe. Praise the Lord. Nine Toa Ryan. My name is Ryan, or as they like to say in Kenya, Brian, or Lion. First I'd like to just express my sincere appreciation and gratitude for all the support of you here at Northwest Community Church. The support of this seven-person team on our trip to Kenya. Thank you for commissioning us Sunday before we left up here at the front. And the continued prayers throughout our journey. It was my incredible privilege to be a part of this team. serving our Lord over the last 2 weeks in a country that I never thought that I would be in. It's my honor to have a few minutes to share with you some of my thoughts and some of the ways I saw God and His love during the trip. The week before our trip, we did vacation Bible school, and one of the things we went over with the kids was just ways to watch for God in our everyday life. We handed out, you know, these little wristbands to remind the kids to just keep an eye out for things that you can see evidence of God in. And as you might imagine, that wasn't hard to do while we were in Kenya. I saw God at work in the lives of widows, many of which were grandmothers taking care of their grandchildren because their own children had passed on AIDS or other tragedies that would have to trek hundreds of yards, not just horizontally, but deep down into valleys in this remote mountain village, just to get water for themselves, their children, their animals, which they rely on. They're pretty well self-sufficient. And just saw God at work, and they no longer have to do that because of a simple water well installed by Crossway Ministries that we partnered with our trip there. Through my own tears, I saw God in a young blind girl as she poured out her heart in song, singing to her Muzungu guests. That's what we are, the white people, Muzungus. We met literally hundreds of kids along the way, like Nicole had mentioned, and some blind, some orphans, but everyone with just a smile, and in their smile and every sparkle in their eye, every desperate grasp for a touch or reaching out for attention. We as children of God ourselves were not only able to pour out our love for them, but Christ's love as well. In addition, God blessed me with glimpses into the hearts of my fellow team members. Just the dedication and the talent of Timothy to learn more than enough Swahili to walk up to anybody on the street and dirt roads as we trekked our way through the countryside and start up a conversation, and the fearlessness in the hearts of Timothy and Jeremy to do just that and to talk to people in their own native tongue and open doors and just pour out love. The incredibly soft hearts that God gave each one of us on our team for children, and especially in the hearts of Tiffany and Nicole, just a reflection of purity and service. I was honored to be able to see that these last 2 weeks. I saw the Lord awaken PT's spirit as we saw that simple water well, and I could see the gears in his brain turning on how his love for engineering could be applied to just spread blessing to literally thousands of people in a remote part of the world. And I saw God in the faith demonstrated by Pastor Dave with an incredible way of keeping God at the forefront of all of our minds throughout the trip and in all situations. And I share these things at least in part to validate your prayers and support for us. They were not wasted. And the greatest part of all that is our trip really isn't over. Our prayer, of course, is that God would continue to cultivate and foster the relationships that were made, the needs that were identified, the perspectives and experiences that each of us gained. And, you know, may it be for the furtherment of His kingdom. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to share every detail of our trip. We have hundreds of stories and things that we would like to share with you. So over the next few weeks, several of us will be up here sharing. But please invite you to come to any one of us and ask questions. And just find out how we were able to spend these last couple of weeks in the service of our Lord. So I, again, thank you so much for the opportunity to go, and looking forward to how it will continue to grow in our lives. So, thanks.
Now is it on? It is. Okay, good. The microphone doohickey that attaches to my belt was turned upside down in my absence. So they got the jet lag guy. So I have to turn the button the other direction. Wow. So, but I did it. Right? So just be grateful for successes. Welcome back, Challenge guys. So how was Challenge in a word? Awesome. Amazing. Two words. Good. Okay. We are looking forward to hearing maybe some Challenge reports next Sunday. So can't wait. Maybe do some Challenge songs. So that'll be fun next week. I took a calculated risk by asking Ryan and Nicole to give their talks first. So now I have nothing to say. They said it all. But I'll think of something. But thanks, guys, for what you had to say. Remarkably coherent, given 58 hours of travel from Nairobi to San Antonio. We spent two nights in airports, Nairobi and London Heathrow. So now I guess I can say I've seen London. No, I have not seen London. But it was a tremendous time, and I'll just echo both of their expressions of gratitude to the church for support, for prayer, for encouragement. Obviously, the trip would not have happened. It certainly would have been as effective as I think it was without the support of the body behind us. I do want to start off by giving... Oh, a couple of things I almost forgot. The Brugers. Where are the Brugers? There you are. Your last Sunday with us, right? Before you head off, and I've lost the bubble. Where are you moving to? Washington, D.C. Okay. Well, thank you both very much, and Hannah as well, for your ministry here and your involvement with us while you've been here. You guys have been rich blessings, so you go with our prayers. Love you guys. And we're also honored to have Alice Smoke with us today. Alice has not been with us for quite a while, but good to see you up and around. Alice, welcome. We are really glad that you're here today. If you would just, let's go to the Lord together. I'd like for us to pray for the Brugers and then also for Ken Everhart, who is experiencing some terrible health challenges right now. So before we go any further, let's just go to the Lord. Father, we pray right now for tremendous blessings on the Brugers as they move from San Antonio this week to Washington, D.C. Thank you for the way you have used Neil and Jennifer in so many ways here, the relationships they've established. Thank you for the way that Hannah has had a great impact and has been touched by the youth ministry. We pray, Father, as they move to D.C., that you would envelop them in a close, tight-knit community. They would find a place, a church, where they can serve and be served and love and be loved. We commit them to you and lift them up in Jesus' mighty name. We also thank you for our brother Ken. He means so much to us, and now he is experiencing neurological problems that he has experienced in the past, and we want to lift him up before your mighty throne and pray that you would touch Ken. Please restore him to health, Father. And this morning, as we are meeting and praying for him, we ask that your peace would wash over him. Your healing hand would be on him. So we lift him up to you in Jesus' name as well. And just pray your blessing on the rest of our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this morning is going to kind of be all about Kenya all the time. So we're going to start off by giving some... I think that there was a total of something like 3,000 pictures taken. So I was sent a few pictures last night and this morning. So I cobbled this PowerPoint presentation together this morning. So can't wait to see how this goes. And we couldn't find the clicker so I could click the slides. So we're using Jake's iPad because there's an app for that. So we're so I'm in the 90s now. Okay. There it is. Yes. Okay. victory. Okay, so this is more of a random slide, but this is a marketplace. You see the bananas, lots and lots of bananas we were eating over the 2 weeks. This is the way things are carried. Often the girls and women are carrying the heavy loads, and that's, as you see, that's how life is in Kenya. We had opportunity all through the time. PT got over a lot of his shyness and was able to, there you are, PT, okay? And so we just made friends all along the way. Every one of the team members just did tremendously. Here we are at a shelter for homeless children, tremendously needy place, but there's Tim Gross and they're jumping rope, and then, oh, there's no, not sure who that is. So, and this is a water pump. This is the water pump that Ryan was talking about. Here, Ryan is an engineer at Southwest Research Institute, a lot of years as an engineer under his belt, and he still can't figure out exactly how that pump works, but takes no electricity. What's that? Well, you told me that. No electricity, no gas. It somehow works on the basis of gravity and the pressure of the water coming down, but it pumps water up to a water tank hundreds of feet higher than that is, and there's the water tank, courtesy of Crossway International, blesses the whole community. People come from, I guess, miles around to get their water from the source. And not only is water, but clean water especially, is a huge issue in many parts of the world, as you all know. This is just the countryside. Put different vegetation on it. It could be the hill country. But this, as I remember, is a home. Actually, that's the barn, of course. But that's where one of the widows we visited lives. And the widows have a very, very difficult life. As has already been expressed, many of them are caring for grandchildren because parents have died of AIDS, and they're having a tough... Now, Muzungu is the word for people like us. It literally means foreigner, but it stands for mainly white people. This little girl had never seen a Muzungu, and she was terrified. So you can imagine what's wrong with these people. They don't look like us, and she was just terrified. But this next slide is one of my favorites. That's Jeremy, and she warmed up and let Jeremy hold her, and he loved on her. And he was missing Kayla and Sabrina anyway, so he just got a little girl hug. This is the school at Kodungo, and the students work really hard. They're up before the crack of dawn every day. They're working on school projects all day long. They understand the value of education, and so there's 1,200 students at this school. 46 of them are blind students, and they are especially not so much financially supported, but they are supplied and resourced by Crossway International with Braille typewriters and Braille paper. Our Vacation Bible School project this year was collecting money for Braille paper, so that money will be sent over to Kenya to buy more Braille paper, which is very expensive. This is mealtime. This is hundreds of kids lined up at these huge 20, 30 gallons worth of cauldrons of the staple food of Kenya. And this staple food here, I believe, there's two or three basic meals. This is beans and corn. I forget what it's called. But we're just ladling out the food by the bucketful. And kids all very well behaved. Whenever you saw a group of kids, you would know that either Tim Gross, and I think Jeremy Means is buried under this group of kids there, but that's the Muzungos in that picture, and they were kid magnets. Just a tremendous ministry to the children. At the end of the week, we met with all the different grades of the children, and they would ask us questions about what is life like in America? What's your staple food? How would you answer that? What is the staple food of your country? Yeah, so I said, well, whatever. Several times we were asked to sing our national anthem, which was pretty hilarious. Because Tim Gross thought he could harmonize, and it just didn't. Anyway. These are some of the blind children, and sweet, sweet kids, and we met with them on the last day as well, and just pulls at your heartstrings to see, you know, they're facing an uphill battle in life, and yet they have smiles on their faces, and are very well loved at the school. This is Nicole, who is a teacher in San Antonio and just fit in perfectly at the school. And then she made mention of hospitality. And this is Maureen, who showed great hospitality to Nicole and to Tiffany. And jumping rope at the school. So all kinds of fun activities for kids all over the place. This is the children at the orphanage we went to for a couple of days. And that's a soccer ball, football. That was a gift, and I hope you don't mind. Ryan bought the soccer ball. Most of the soccer balls we saw during our time in Kenya was socks sort of tied together. This is no doubt the first and only time they have actually played football with a real ball, and they had a blast. And Ryan, he kicked it, man. They said, way to go, playing football with them. Poa poa. Yeah. We're all quite fluent in Swahili now, so. This is a little kid at the orphanage. He was on the streets, and now he has hope living at the orphanage. This is... That's Tiffany and Jeremy painting, and more painting. Wash day. I was getting water at a well for... You fill a bucket and you take a bath, and that's the way you get water at that place. And so here's some guys who are washing clothes. Next to me at the same faucet was a little girl, probably 3 years old. She was doing laundry. So everybody has a job, and the littlest ones have a job. It's another picture of a child at the orphanage. And this is our final day. We took a tour of kind of a wildlife refuge called Nguru. And that's the lake behind us, and we saw giraffes and baboons and rhinos and everything. That is not the highlight of the trip. The highlight of the trip were the slides before that. I want to tell you a little bit about what I think God was teaching me during the 2 weeks away. And I'm actually very excited about sharing with you some personal reflections. I would not have guessed prior to leaving that the main message God would have for me would be somehow related to a rather obscure piece of Greek grammar. Now I've got your undivided attention. But that's exactly what he did. I graduated from college with a degree in English, which means that I have a penchant for punctuation and participles and gerunds and things like that. And it also means that from time to time I will regale you with things grammatical. Pretty fun. Today is one of those days. Think about the part of speech called verbs. You think about mood, like indicative, subjunctive. You think about tense, past, present, future. And you think about voice, active and passive. Active, we know very well. Active means the subject performs the action of the verb. I opened the door. You served. I taught the Bible. Passive is very different. It's where the subject is acted upon. You were served. That's passive. The door was opened for me. As we were looking forward to this trip, I was looking forward very much towards a very active missions trip to Africa. I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Some of you may know most of the story. Some of you may not know the story at all, but I want you to know how we got to where we were in Kenya. I had contacted Tom and Jean Reed back in November of 2011. They're missionaries who serve in Uganda, the northeastern part of Uganda, and we've partnered with the Reeds for a long time. Wanted to see about bringing a group from Northwest there. And they were positive about it, so we started thinking about a trip in January of 2012. For all kinds of reasons, that proved to be very poor timing, so that trip was scuttled, and we shifted forward to planning for a trip for June, July to Uganda. On this trip, we knew that we would do some construction, we would do some Bible teaching, and we would have a ministry among the Karamojong people of northeastern Uganda. The Karamojong are pretty much the biggest, baddest dudes on the block. They're dangerous people, but if you have a friend who knows the Karmazhong and a trusted person, then it's not scary to be with the Karmazhong. And that's Tom and Jean Reed. They were going to be our escorts, our chaperones during the time that we were there. We had what I still consider an outstanding team. I was joined on this trip by Ryan Johnson and P.T. Gaines, by Nicole Treadwell and Tiffany Head and Jeremy Means and Tim Gross. One Sunday in early May, after the second service, we all gathered in the church office, and we all bought tickets for Uganda, about $2,200 a pop. And so getting more and more excited about going, really thrilled. And then we got word that Jean was very, very sick. Complication from malaria, brain fever. She was treated in Uganda, but to get the best treatment, they brought her back to the States. Tom and Jean came back to the States. And shortly after they got back to the States, Tom sent me an email headed, "Some really bad news." Now, you've probably gotten emails that are headed something like that, and when you do, you almost hesitate to open them up. But I clicked on it and opened it up, and he said that the mission board they served with had evaluated Jean's condition. She was getting actually much better physically, but she was pretty beat up. Had told them, "We will not allow you to go back to Uganda at least until September." This meant that our chaperones were no longer available for us to go to Karmazhong. He wanted to know, Tom did, "Do you think you can get your trip money refunded because the trip's going to have to be canceled?" That's where we were, less than a month away from leaving for this trip, tickets already bought and paid for. Now, one of my spiritual gifts is panic. And so I just put that gift to good use, and I called my good friend, Missions Committee Chair Todd Habacost, and Todd said, "Well, why don't you just get in contact with other ministry partners we have in Africa?" And we do have a couple who I then emailed, called, and said, "Hey, this is our situation. Is there any way you could cobble together a trip that we could come and serve?" And both of these ministries were more than willing to do that for us. But Dean Collard's Crossway International, his exact quote was, he was salivating about welcoming us to work with his in-country partners in Kenya. So very quickly it was determined that we would go to Kenya, we would dig a water well, we would dig trenches, we would build a tower for the water tank, we would teach and preach the Bible, we would evangelize. Again, a very active trip, not a passive trip, a very active trip. And then a few days before we left for Kenya, I got a series of emails from Dean expressing concern. "You know that water well thing? I don't know that that's going to happen while you're there." And then, "Dave, that construction project we've been planning on you guys doing, I don't think that's going to happen." And that gave me a picture of Dave Smith's worst nightmare. We had a team of highly qualified, very spiritually minded, eager people on our team, and we would get to Kenya with nothing to do. Just twiddle our thumbs. And that was the thought that went with me on the plane as we left from San Antonio to Dallas to London to Nairobi, then, or to Entebbe, then on to Nairobi. It wasn't until the second day of our time in Kenya that God redeemed the trip for me, and he did it by using Greek grammar. Just to review, Greek grammar and English grammar, very similar when it comes to voices. Active means we preach, we dig, we trench, we build, we serve. Passive, we were served. But in Greek, which is the language in which the New Testament was written, we're thrown a curve. Greek has not only active and passive, but the middle voice. In fact, historically, there was no passive voice. There was only the active and the middle. Passive came much later historically. And the middle voice in language means that you are participating in the actions of someone else who has initiated the action. Somebody else initiates something and you participate, you join in what they are doing. And my time in Kenya was all about me learning to sort of redefine the Christian life as life in the middle. It is joining God in what He's already doing. It's not passive. You don't just sit like bumps on pickles. And it's not, at the same time, active. It's not all about my initiative. It's not about all what I do. It is assessing what is God doing and then joining Him in that. It is participating in what God is doing. I got my first lesson about life in the middle on about the second day of our trip. First day, we'd been traveling since Saturday morning, got there Monday afternoon, and then kind of rested through the rest of Monday. And then by Tuesday morning, we were all raring to go, wanted to do something real mission-y. And our first assignment was peel potatoes. We had to move a pile of rocks from here to here. And we weeded our host's garden. And I was thinking to myself, I got a garden at home with lots of weeds and I got rocks galore in my yard that I could move from place to place. What are we doing here? What am I doing here? Those activities didn't go down as, you know, great moments in 21st century missiology, but God was teaching me something. He was inviting us to enter into the rhythm of life in Africa. This is what's going on. Join. This is what they're doing. Enter in. And we as a team learned to, over the course of the week and a half we were there, simply enter into what was already going on. Whether it was at our host's home, whether it was at the homeless shelter and jumping rope, whether it was at the school, going to classes, loving on kids, picking up kids, hugging kids, at church last Sunday in Kenya, at the orphanage, where shoes are falling apart and clothes are rags, and just pay attention to what I'm doing. Just listen, and then enter in. Join me. That's all I want you to do. Not looking for you to initiate anything. The only thing we initiated, the only thing you could look back and say, this is what the team did, are the painted outside walls of a bathroom. Yes! Always wanted to do that. But the real contribution of our team was the relationships established, the touches, meaningful connection as we entered into what God is doing. As I've reflected on the middle way, I've just kind of looked at Scripture in the last several days in a real different way. I think it's a very biblical way to look at life in Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, this wonderful story of the evangelist Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Maybe I'm especially drawn to that story right now because it's about an African. But this Ethiopian is traveling from Jerusalem back home to Ethiopia, and God has obviously worked in his heart. He is a worshiper of God. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah 53, where Jesus is predicted hundreds of years before he's born. So his heart is already softened, and God said to Philip, go join that chariot. Just show up. And then Philip's assignment, beyond showing up, is assess what's already going on. Oh, I see you're reading Isaiah 53. What did Philip initiate? Nothing. He just showed up and he assessed the situation. What's God already doing here? Well, obviously, God's already opened his heart. He shared the gospel. The guy came to faith in Christ. I'm convinced this is the way Jesus lived. In John chapter 5, there is the story of Jesus healing the man who had been lame for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. He healed the man. He was walking around. And then some people approached Jesus and said, what's all this about? What are you doing all these miracles for? And Jesus' response was so interesting. He said, until now my Father is working, and I myself am also working. In other words, I'm just looking to see where my Father is at work, and that's where I jump in. And I saw that my Father was at work there, and that's where I landed. Acts 13. The church at Antioch commissions Barnabas and Saul for the first missionary journey. This is a picture of a church. They are fasting and praying before God. They're seeking God's direction, a great thing for any church to do. And God says, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And they do, and they go. What did they initiate? Nothing. All they did was what God said. This is where I want you to go. And they did. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are verses we know so well. For by grace you were saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. So anybody who comes to Christ has to come by way of faith alone, in Him alone. That's the only way to come to faith. But the very next verse says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. We're just following along where He's leading. Now, what about the middle voice in me, the middle voice in you? I'm not standing up here and saying that the active is bad. It's not bad to take initiative. It's not bad to start things. Not at all. We should do what we can do. And passivity sometimes can be very healthy. I think Americans, of which I are one, could learn a lot about inactivity. Could learn a lot by not being so frantic and so busy all the time. But as an overall orientation to what life in Jesus is all about, I suspect that the middle gives us the best image we have in Scripture. I think you might apply it in this way. You enter into a room where there's already lots going on, lots of conversation. And as you walk into the room, you prayerfully ask God, what are you up to here? What's going on here? How can I edify somebody in this room? How can I join what you're already doing? Rather than just rushing into a room like a bull in a china shop, we carefully assess the situation and we ask God, what are you doing? Or maybe you have friends who are experiencing conflict, butting heads, and they're not getting along, and you wonder, what should I do? Should I separate the combatants? Should I shake my finger and exhort them and rebuke them for being so immature? Maybe. Pray. Ask God to help you assess what He's already doing. Maybe there's a wrong that's been perpetrated by one of them that needs to be addressed. Maybe it's a lack of understanding. We need the Spirit's guidance in this. Ask God, what are you up to here? When you come across somebody in your world, maybe at church, maybe at work, maybe in your neighborhood, who has a genuine material need, should you, and you have the resources to meet that, should you meet that need? Maybe. Maybe if you met that need and gave that money, you'd just be fostering more irresponsibility. You'd just be enabling. But maybe he's lost his job, she's lost her job, and the kids aren't going to have anything to eat. Yeah, you should sell the car and give the money to them. Yeah, you should give. But how will we know unless we prayerfully enter these situations to find out what God's up to and ask Him and learn attentiveness? It's one last Kenya story that helps me kind of get a picture of what this is all about. When I jump rope, I just get out my jump rope and I swing it and I jump. But in Kenya, when all the jump roping we saw was a team sport. So two kids, or Tim Gross and a kid, get a rope and they twirl the rope. And you may remember doing this. Who's done this recently? Where you have two people twirling a rope and you try to jump in? It's hard. It's really hard. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then you jump in. And you saw me, that was take number 17, and I got in. It's hard to know when to come in. It's hard to know when to get into the motion of what's already going on. And I did it, but I did it very awkwardly. I think if I'd worked longer at it, harder at it, I could have gotten the hang of it. But there's an art to knowing when to jump in. It takes huge attentiveness. It takes alertness. You got to really pay attention to what those who are swinging the rope are doing. And I think that for those of us who aren't wanting so much to jump into a jump rope competition, but want to know, what is God doing here? There is some learned spiritual sensitivity, a learned alertness, and a learned prayerfulness to, what are you up to here, God? How can I join you? Where I think we can learn what he's up to and how to enter and how to join him. It's not the passive life where you sit back and just wait for life to happen. It's not the active life where everything depends on my initiative. It's the life where we join him in what he's already doing. That's, I believe, the life that leads to most honor and glory for him and greatest impact for him. And that's what I think the Lord was teaching me in Kenya. I hope that all of us can learn the middle way. If you would like to stand with me, I'd like for us to be dismissed with prayer this morning, asking God to guide us and direct us. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of knowing that we're a part of your worldwide work, not just in San Antonio, but around the world. My prayer, Father, for all of us here today is that you would teach us alertness, awakeness, sensitivity. Give us a heart for prayer as we enter into every situation which we find ourselves, so that we might know how to respond to each person with grace, so that it might build up, so that we might minister Jesus in the richest way possible. We ask all this in his mighty name. Amen. Bless you, friends.